You know, it's important to grow in our faith and to get deep, get things deep rooted into us, because that's really the walk the Lord wants as we start moving forward. I wonder if you would join me in a prayer. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray you release us from all the busyness of this weekend, from all the things we've been doing and things we're going to do. Lord, we pray that your peace would just settle over us, that we would hearken to your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to move in power and to touch our hearts. For Lord, we don't want to just hear about you. We want to feel you. We pray, Lord, that you just bless this time together in fellowship, and that, Lord, you would lead this teaching, and Lord, you would guide us as we grow in you, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's great to be up again. A special treat, I think, to have two Sundays in a row, and it's kind of interesting because I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to carry on with aspects of really dealing with the old man, unless you're gender neutral and say old lady. But we're going to be moving and having a look at really growing in Christ. And Pastor Steve has been taking the church through Romans, and you've been hearing about being crucified with Christ, that we're new creation in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. But there's a process that the Lord wants us to deal with the old man, the old part of creation, which is what we do with the Lord. We're yoked with him, we're growing forward, continually putting to death. It's a continual process where we're going, and it's the process of sanctification or the road to holiness. It doesn't happen just like that. We grow in it, and we go from one degree of glory, we're told, to another by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's the Holy Spirit in us that does it. We can't make ourselves holy, but the Lord transforms us from one degree of glory to another into the likeness of Jesus. But what we've got to do is say, yes, Lord, change me. So are you ready to say, yes, Lord, change me? So that's what the process going on. Now, basically, we're continually exhorted by the Lord to put to death the old. Like this truth out of Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind. So the process is in the mind. It's in the process of changing our mind, or allowing the Lord to transform our mind. And last week, we shared about how our memories are actual physical places in our brain. Not just feelings, they occupy, as Dr. Caroline Leaf said, real estate. They actually occur in our mind. And she shared that basically, that generally those memory complexes look like beautiful trees. You see, in their actual imagery, they look like a long stem with a bushy top. But if the memories are of trauma, they're all misshapen, and they're all knobbled and gnarled, and they look like thorn bushes. And so we carry these areas in our brain continually. When those memory centers are accessed, out floods whatever. If it's a happy memory, joy, happiness, contentment, peace. But if it's a bad memory, out comes anger, pain, violence, and so on. And that rate causes great damage to our body, because every time we access them. Now, basically, the aspect that in our life journey, we go through a lot of aspects of getting hurt. But one thing we may not realize is that damage can come down our bloodlines. And this is an area I felt the Lord wanted me to share with you, because basically we don't appreciate that very much, that things in our past can come down to us and affect us today. Now, there's a beautiful truth that the Lord gave us. It's in 1 Peter. And it says, "For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty ways of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." The blood of Jesus redeemed us from the empty ways of life handed down to us from our forefathers. Nevertheless, memories of the trauma can be passed down from our forefathers and affect us today. And it's like winds of the past blowing our sails today. And we don't realize that that influence is there. We just get pushed into areas and are affected by that in our behavior. You know, for many years in our ministry of Wholeness Through Christ and other inner healing ministries, we've realized that the Lord really revealed that to us, that there was damage, trauma in family lines that were coming down. But more recently, science has caught up with the Lord. Now, I want to share with you a scientific study that really revealed this, which was interesting because we were seeing it from the Holy Spirit, but this came from a scientific study. It was a study done at the Emory School of Medicine in the United States. And what they did was they took a bunch of mice and they made them sensitive to cherry blossoms. And these mice were traumatized by this smell. And they found that what happened, the DNA of the mice in that region of smell changed. And not only was there a genetic change, it was passed down to their offspring and to their ground offspring. And so for three generations, these mice were traumatized by the smell of cherry blossoms. It's kind of a funny thing to make them sensitive to, but anyway, they were sensitive to cherry blossoms. And so basically what it was showing was that the trauma of that memory passed from one generation to another generation, and even though that generation had no recognition of being affected detrimentally by cherry blossom smells, they were traumatized by it. They wouldn't go near the thing. And it's interesting because the implications were profound that they recognized. And this, I want to just quote this professor Pembrey from the University College of London. He said the findings were highly relevant to phobias, anxieties, post-traumatic stress disorders, and providing compelling evidence that a form of memory could be passed between the generations. I don't know whether he's Christian or not, that guy, but it is showing that those centers that are in us, that some of it could have come down from the past, these thorn bush complexes, could have been inherited and came down generation to generation. And when you think about that, you begin to reflect on what the Lord told Moses when they were up at Mount Sinai. You remember that was the time when the cloud came down and Moses said, "Lord, I want to see you. I want to see your face." And he put him in a cleft of the rock and his glory passed by. And at that time, he expressed his character, and he said this, Exodus 34, 5 to 7. "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, proclaiming his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished and punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And at that time, the Lord was showing that there was something going down the bloodlines to the third and fourth generation. But as we know, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the Mosaic Law. Amen? Is that good news? I think that's good news. So he redeemed us because it says this, Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So as the redeemed of the Lord, we're no longer punished by God for these sins of our forebears. But we can be affected by the lingering effects of the damage that they went through. And we have been passed down to us, unbeknownst to us, and in our memory banks. And we're affected in our behavior by something that came down, not through our life journey, but from the past. And it's a remarkable thing when you begin to appreciate that truth. There's a great passage that the Lord gave us in 2 Timothy 2:20. It said, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. But sometimes we inherit junk. We also inherit lots of good stuff. So please, as I'm sharing, don't think, wow, you know, we're just talking about negative stuff, but the riches of God's grace have come down to you from your forebears. In fact, that's probably exactly why you're here today, because in our family lines has been people praying and honoring God, amen? And it's come down, and the riches of his grace, that all our gifts and talents and skills and appearance and so on have come down to us. But along the way, there's been stuff handed down that isn't so good. And if you think of a house as yourself, there's stuff you put into it, but sometimes you inherit junk. I don't know if you've ever had a legacy and you end up with a bunch of stuff, and you keep cramming it in your house, but you realize it's not all good, but you don't want to give it away because it came down from the forebears. But anyway, this is something about our behaviors, because if things are passed down that are negative, we may be shocked to find that some of our behavior today is being affected by what went on before. And if we reflect, did mom act like that? Did my granny act like that? Or how my dad or granddad, going back in the generations, and you may be surprised to see a pattern coming down your family lines, and you realize, whoa, I'm acting like that today. And that could be an influence you see from the past. And I want to give you a testimony, an example about this. I think I gave it at the weekend we had, but it's a testimony of Matthew Crouch, or actually his son Caleb. And Matthew Crouch is the son of Paul Crouch, who founded the TBN network, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And it's about his son, Caleb, who was a little toddler. And apparently, when Caleb was a well-adjusted little boy, he was full of joy, full of happiness. He was dancing around. And it came out when he was 6 years old, they had to take him to school. And so when they took him to school, suddenly he was filled with terror. He couldn't stay in school. He had to go and see the school nurse. He had these panic attacks. The parents had to come and take him home and so on. And they just couldn't understand this. He'd come home and he was perfectly fine. And as soon as he went back to school, all this would come out again. So one day, Matthew, his dad, was talking to his dad, Paul, and he said, I can't understand our little guy. He's flipping out every time we take him to school. He's gets in this panic. And Paul said, wow, I can tell you why. He said, when I was 6 years old, my daddy died. And he said, I was so grief-stricken. He said, I was so fearful. And he said, in those days, we couldn't get all the way to school. So mom would take me part way. And when she let go of my hand, I was afraid I was going to lose her too. And he said, fear just came on me. And he said, I struggled with that fear. I just couldn't seem to get away from that fear that of losing her. And he said, I struggled with that, he said, all through my childhood, and it's still today. And he said, Matthew, you didn't have it. But he said, your brother did. Same thing. He went to grade one, started getting fearful. And he said, now you're telling me that my grandson, Caleb, is exhibiting the same effect. So they had a pastor who understood about effects down bloodlines, and they got together with this pastor, the whole family, the granddad, dad, Caleb, mom, grandmother, and so on. They all came together, and they just came before the Lord, and they asked the Lord to bless and heal and cleanse that pain that had occurred three generations. And as they did that and the Lord blessed them and healed that trauma, that little boy was perfectly normal from then on. Amen? What a beautiful testimony. From that time on, he never had a terror attack, never had any fear, and he carried on. And it was indication that trauma that had occurred sometime in the previous generation was affecting Caleb, even though nothing had happened in Caleb's life that had caused that. And in ministry, the Lord has been showing us that that often comes down family lines. It might be alcoholism. I remember hearing a testimony of a man on Hunter Huntley Street. And he said, he was Scott. He said, for 200 years, there had never been a sober male in his family. He was the first one that came to the Lord. Addiction to alcohol had gone down the bloodlines. The area of abuse, all sorts of abuses. You know, even today, we see the enormous effect of the residential schools, don't we? Coming down the bloodlines, even though the grandchildren have not been in a residential school. Their trauma comes down the family lines. Enormous one is poverty. Poverty is a very powerful force. Many of the families, and particularly all of us in Canada, except for First Nations, have come from somewhere, most of the time out of persecution and poverty. And there's been trauma like the Irish potato famine, or the Scots Highland Clearances, or the persecution of the Huguenots, or the Jewish folks. And that trauma has come down, even the trauma of the Depression. And what it sets up is a pattern of behavior that might lead to hoarding. You can't let go of anything because you might need it. Or giving. You got to be careful about giving so you keep it. Poverty of spirit. Even though you may never have had a problem with poverty. But the effect of that coming down the family lines is enormous. And it comes in like a spirit of poverty. You always feel poorer no matter how much you have. And you often read about that, don't you, where millionaires live like paupers, surrounded in a house with junk. They're affected. Another big one is the feeling of alienation. You're the odd person out, always looking in. You don't really belong. That somehow you're never accepted. And that feeling of alienation can also come down bloodlines, particularly for immigrants moving in, that they never feel accepted. But it lingers on and can come down the bloodlines. Well, there's many of them, like Caleb's one of fear, false worship, occultic involvements where you've tripped into, or the family has tripped into false worship somewhere along the line. All these things. But the good news is that we can stand in the gap for our families. And I want to share with you about the privilege we have in prayer as the royal priests of Christ, because every one of you is a royal priest. I don't know if you realize that. You're a holy nation. You might be Canucks, but you're also a holy nation. So look at each other and say, I'm a royal priest. You're a royal priest. And there's a privilege here because Jesus anointed and appointed us as royal priests to do things. We've been anointed. And remember when the Lord said at that church in Nazareth, and he quoted from Isaiah, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And he went on to say, he's given me recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the captives, and so on. And farther in that passage, he said this, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Isn't that beautiful? It's a promise that we can restore the damage that's been done in our family lines, standing for the Lord, standing in that place for ourselves and our families, and affect the whole family. And it does. Is bringing the power of the Holy Spirit, blasting away the defilement from the enemy, the brokenness of the past. And we call it a lot of times standing in the gap. Now, most of you, those of you that have been called to prophetic intercession, you know what that means, standing in the gap, or the prayer warrior standing in the gap. But it really comes from Nehemiah. Because you remember Nehemiah, Daniel is another one. They were mighty men of God, and Nehemiah in particular, he was a cupbearer when the Israelites had been taken to captivity in Babylon. He had heard the news that Jerusalem was destroyed, and he yearned for the restoration of that city. And he prayed. And this is what he said. This is Nehemiah 1, 5 to 10. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eye open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. Now, remember, he was a righteous man. And he was willing to not pass the buck. And he was owning the damage himself. He says, I confess it. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there, bring them back to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand." He stood, and sometimes this prayer is sort of like the whole family line's behind you, and you're standing for all of them, and you're proclaiming to the Lord, "Lord, I'm standing. We have done this." And basically, that's what Nehemiah did. And he identified his forebearer's sin as his own and took it all before the Lord. And the Lord blessed his prayer. And we know from that story in Nehemiah, he was given great favor by the king, and he was sent back with all sorts of provision to rebuild. And when they were rebuilding the walls, there were gaps in the walls around Jerusalem. And he said, "I need to put you in the gaps, the warriors, so that you can see if the enemy's coming. You're going to have a tool in one hand and a sword in another, and you're going to see if the enemy's coming." And so, as prayer warriors, we're standing in the gap. And the gap is the gap between what it should be and what it is. Amen? So we can stand in the gap for our families, pray, and block off the enemy flow as it's coming through the gap. We can stand in the gap for those in our family who are being damaged and hurt by the enemy. You know, I know a lot of times in your humanity we want to criticize our family. But isn't it better to stand in the gap for them? Amen? Isn't it better to bring healing and wholeness and unity back to the family? And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to stand in that gap. And that's the privilege we have as royal priests. Because the Lord said, "You're going to do what I did and even more. And you're going to stand and you're going to, in your prayers, restore the years the locusts have eaten in the family lines. And the brokenness and damage that occurs is going to be dealt with. And the enemy is going to be blocked off." And when you do that, it's an incredible thing that happens. Because it breaks, the Lord showed me, it's like cutting elastic band and it snaps both ways. And it goes back to the previous generations and forward to the new generations. And affects our kids and grandkids and so on, and it affects those parents and grandparents on the other side. And it affects not only you, your immediate family, but aunts and uncles, and you'd be surprised how many restorations go on of alienation in families as this type of prayer goes forward, and you have the privilege of praying it. Isn't that great? That's good news. So even though the Lord is revealing that damage can come down your bloodlines to you, he's also given you the way to deal with it and destroy it so that it'll no longer affect you. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have free will choice. They do. But it cuts off the enemy temptation and oppression, which is influencing them to sin in that way. And so it's really a wonderful thing to stand in this gap. And I just want to share a little testimony from our good friend Ann, who's up at Courtney. She was a prayer warrior, and she was praying to the Lord, and he said, "I want you to go to Victoria and stand in the gap for your brother." And she said, "Well, I don't know what stand in the gap means. You know, am I supposed to stand here?" So anyway, she came down to Victoria, and she heard we were putting on a Wholeness to Christ retreat. So she had nothing to do, so she said, "Well, I'll go over to..." Her friend was going to go to it, so she went. And I shared about this aspect of inherited root bondages. And she came up to me after, she says, "Now I know what God was telling me to do." He said, he wants me to stand in the gap for my brother. And she did. And there was a wonderful healing that went on in her brother. And it was wonderful to hear that, because there, God, she knew nothing about what we were doing. The Holy Spirit had told her, "Go down, go and see and find out about this and stand in the gap for your family." Now, recall that you've got all sorts of riches coming down to you, a gift from your parents. But there can be stuff, if you see a pattern of brokenness showing up, it could be that this damage is coming down too. And so I'm just going to close with inviting you to join me in a prayer. I'm going to show you a type of prayer you can use, standing in the gap, and break the pattern that's come down to you, if you feel that is an influence, and we'll take it and break the power in the name of the Lord. Amen? If you'd like to do that? Why carry it any longer? So let's just quiet our hearts and take a little time to reflect of a pattern, something that may be affecting you today that you see. And then you reflect that my mom and dad had it, or one side of the, or the other. It may not come both sides. It might be one side. Don't forget, just like genetic things, if red hair is coming down, not everyone gets red hair. It might skip. Grant's got red hair, but his brother may not. I mean, you know, it passes and may skip a generation. So let's just quiet ourselves before the Lord, and I'll lead you in a prayer. And this is really getting deep in our faith and trusting in the Lord. So, Father, I pray you help us in our weakness, because in our weakness you are strong. Help us today, Lord, to give us a revelation if a pattern of brokenness is being passed down or even showing up in our kids and our grandkids. Now, we're just going to bring that area to the Lord. So I'll just lead you in a prayer, and you can enter into it where you sit, just agreeing with it as we put it down. And you come to that place of the brokenness, you take that to the Lord. So, Father, we stand before your throne of grace this morning. And, Lord, we come before you for ourselves, for our parents, for our grandparents, and for all our forefathers. Lord, we confess this area of brokenness as a sin, and we lay it down at your cross. Father, we pray that you heal the trauma, the woundedness, the pain, the suffering of poverty and alienation, of abuse, of having the things that we had torn away and stripped. And we choose to forgive those that abused us. We give justice to you, Lord. And we take your mighty word, Lord, that says it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And with that word as a double-edged sword, we just cut through the bondage that's been there from generation to generation to generation, that has affected our family lines. And we just replace it with the cross of Jesus Christ, the love, the acceptance, and the compassion. And we rebuke any power of the enemy that would come against us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That's a good thing to do. And the Lord may reveal things as you get together at home, and you can just take it to the Lord. That's a privilege. It's not about special people doing this. It's about you and the Lord. And just take it and get this freedom. There's so much more Holy Spirit wants to give us. He's yearning to pour out his grace to us and really enter into his riches of his grace. Like the scripture Chris read out is so true. Paul yearned for it. I pray that the eyes of your heart get enlightened to see the depth of his power, the power that rose him from the dead. And if you can raise someone from the dead, then it's not too big a job to break the bloodline bondages. Amen? Amen. So we'll just close now. So Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the deep, deep love of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you yearn to see us grow in freedom, not to be trapped by the enemy or brokenness of life. And we pray, Lord, a blessing on the fellowship, that your Holy Spirit would hover over us and stir us up and get us in expectation, Lord, to feel and receive everything that you have for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.